Pardon me?
Is that through the church's website?
I think you can access it through the church website also. That's right. I don't think the Podbean comes as an app. At least it does on my phone. But I think you can get them through the church website too. But I think the church website links you up to Podbean, which is a site you can upload speeches to.
So how do you
audio.
Get to your? How do you, she's asking how you get to your deal.
It's just is it
it's
going to
yeah.
down, it's going to go to the cloud.
Yeah, I'll upload it to Podbean, and okay. then you'll have to just go. You can get it off the church website, but the link on the church website will link you over to Podbean.
Okay, and then
P O D B E A N.
What will it be labeled?
P O D B E A N. Well, it'll be labeled.
What's the file name?
I don't know what they'll label it on the church. Okay. You know, they may not even give us a label.
I'm sure there'll be some good messages.
I mean, you know.
Mature.
Sunday school, whatever number we are. Are we like 4 or something like that? Or
rebel class.
Sunday school level, whatever we are. We're the 45 through 54s, right?
In our dreams.
No, seriously. Seriously, wait. No, really. We're the 45 through 54 class, really.
Plus.
Look out the...
Plus. Well, they need to put a plus next to that.
This class is a representation of people that start their day out in a positive outlook. When you look in the mirror in the morning, Do you think about how old you are or how old you want to be? And if you're 65, 70 years old and you look in the mirror and say, I want to be 45 today, then your day is going to go well.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what this class is representing.
It's let's
work anymore, though.
When I get up, I'm looking in the mirror.
Do what?
It's starting not to work anymore, though.
Well, if
well,
don't worry about
here's here.
Go get in the mirror.
Here's why we all love to think about that. This is why we all love to think about that, because heaven is in our hearts. God created us that way. We're longing for our glorified bodies, our resurrection bodies, okay?
I'm going to burn mine. And you're going to have to put it back together real good.
Yeah. Yeah, and that can be done. I mean, if you're cremated, God can just give you a new body.
Will this be on your podcast?
It's being recorded right now. Yeah. All this foolishness is being recorded right now. Right now.
All this fun.
Yeah, this fun. Fun, foolish fun, yeah. But anyway, fortunately, mercifully, there'll only be half an hour of class here now. But that's okay. And that was a good testimony, Ann. Thank you very much. That was a good praise. And happy birthday, by the way, again. But we're in session 5, and this is the baptism of Jesus. Okay, that's what the lesson covers. It's readings in Matthew, three readings in early Matthew chapter 3. Actually, all three readings are in chapter 3 of Matthew. Last time we studied that Jesus was in the temple, 12 years old in the temple, listening to the elders and also teaching the elders. You know, he probably opened up the prophets to the elders because, you know, even Jews today don't like to read Isaiah chapter 53 because it sounds too much like Jesus dying on the cross. So, they really don't like to cover that because, you know, they think it's New Testament. It's really Old Testament. I mean, Isaiah is Old Testament, no question about it. But it sounds very New Testamental. But here's the Messiah himself. He's been born. He's grown up. And John the Baptist, his cousin, has taken on the mantle of Elijah. And some people think that's a figurative sense, you know, because there was a promise that the Messiah would be preceded by Elijah, okay? And I think Jesus even states that he came in the power of Elijah, you know, to be the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is John the Baptist. So there's a Jewish legend. I'm just going to throw this in for special interest. There's a Jewish legend that when Zechariah, his father, Zechariah, right? his father went, he was elected to burn incense that day. And remember, he got a visitation by an angel, probably Gabriel, since he's the archangel of announcements. He said, "Oh, Zach, you're going to have a son. He's going to be the forerunner of the Messiah." And, you know, he said, "Oh, how can that be?" And angel said, "You don't believe me? Okay, buddy, you're going to be mute till the baby's born. But his name will be John." Okay, so he knew what to name him, but, you know, otherwise, you know, because of your unbelief, you're going to be mute till he's born. But some people believe in that altar of incense, there was a compartment. It's the Jewish legend. And inside that compartment was actually the mantle of Elijah that had been preserved for hundreds of years, miraculously, I guess. Camel hair mantle. And that Zechariah himself pulled it out of there and took it with him so that when John the Baptist grew up, the camel hair mantle that he wore with the leather belt, it's talked about in our lesson today, was actually the mantle of Elijah. Okay, so I can't prove that from the Bible, so don't arm wrestle with me about it. But anyway, it's an interesting legend. But John the Baptist is shown here as being one of the two main characters. Of course, the main character, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to get around to the maximized question here is, what is baptism, and what does it mean, and how did it affect Jesus our Lord, and how does it affect us, and what, you know, the purpose of baptism? Okay, this is one of the two ordinances that we celebrate in Christianity, is baptism and the Lord's Supper. Okay, those are the two. Other churches have other sacraments. We have only but two of these ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper. And of course, baptism is a loyalty oath, and the Lord's Supper is a victory feast, okay? In David Barr interpretation. I'm sorry, y'all, I'm your teacher. This will be David Barr interpretation. But anyway, that's just the way it is. Baptism was the beginning of his ministry, and the Lord's Supper was the end of his ministry, earthly ministry, before he was crucified and then resurrected. And he said, you know, keep this ordinance up. But that's the Lord's Supper. We're on baptism today. So we see John the Baptist out in the wilderness. He's a wilderness guy. Eats off the land, locusts and wild honey. Some people think maybe that locust means locust bean. Maybe he's a vegetarian, but I don't know. Some people do eat insects. In Africa, people eat insects routinely to get the protein out of them. So it could have been actually locusts that he ate. And
they're swarming good.
Kind of crunchy, though, right?
I would imagine.
But anyway, John the Baptist with his hairy mantle, camel hair mantle, and leather belt, shouting forth like a prophet. This is the first prophet in hundreds of years, okay? There was a period of silence between Malachi and John the Baptist. Yeah, about 400 years. And some would argue that the Bible isn't silent because Daniel chapter 11 gives the history of all the Seleucids and Ptolemies and all the fighting they did in that 400 years. Of course, you have to go to the Maccabees to understand the Maccabean revolt and how the Jews revolted against Antiochus Epiphanes trying to take over and wipe out the Jewish religion. Every time some Satanist has tried to wipe out the Jewish religion, God saves them. You know, Hitler was another one, and God saved them. You know, wiped out a third of them, but two thirds survived. You know, one third of all the Jews died in the ovens of Hitler, but two thirds survived. And God arranged it for the Balfour Declaration to come forth from England, that pretty much had conquered the Ottoman Empire in the Middle East at that point during World War I, and they were able, with the Balfour document, they felt so bad about trying to wipe out the Jews. And the Christians, I think the Christians probably came forth and said, you know, this is not right. So they said, okay, well, let's give the Israelites, the ancient Jews, let's give them a homeland. Where should we give them a homeland? What about the ancient country of Israel, where they came from in the first place, that God gave them that land grant in the first place? You know, that land grant was from the river of Egypt all the way to the Euphrates. I mean, they don't even occupy today the entire land grant that God gave them, but they will in the millennial kingdom when Jesus comes back. Of course, they'll occupy that whole area. But anyway, let's get back to the baptism of Jesus. Who wants to read the first reading in Matthew chapter 3?
In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, because the kingdom of heaven has come near. For he is the one spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, who said, 'A voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight.' Now John had a camel hair garment with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people from Jerusalem, all Judea, and in all the vicinity of the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins."
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Now, I love why questions. I love why questions. Why was there such a crowd here? Why were people streaming out of Jerusalem and Judea going to the Jordan River to be dunked in the water by John the Baptist?
Well, you know, he had to be quite a
sight to see.
Yeah, a figure. And he was crazy.
Yeah, he was crazy. So why did people go out to the Jordan to be dunked in the river by a crazy guy, right?
We go for that kind of stuff.
Well, that is true. You go on the internet and you figure out all kinds of crazy stuff that people come up with, don't you? It was the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit was working on Israel at this time. It's not that they were not being called by God to repent. They were. John the Baptist showed up, a prophet. They recognized him as a prophet. He was telling the whole nation, "Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near." Now, why did you say the kingdom of God has come near? Why do you use that? The scriptures are always very precise. God says what he means, and he means what he says. What came near? In our next reading, it's the Messiah, right?
Yeah.
All you have to have for a kingdom is to have a king, and then subjects for the king, right? That makes a kingdom, no matter where it is. Even if you're on Mars, if you have a king and some subjects of the king, then you have a kingdom, right? Okay, so we're not on Mars. But anyway, we're on Earth, fortunately. But anyway, so...
There's not intelligent life on Mars either.
Yeah. Either. Yeah, I got it now. Delayed reaction. Yeah, okay. That was Billy. But anyway,
you put that right out there where it belongs.
Yeah, yeah. People might listen to this Podbean just because it's entertaining, you know. To heck with the lesson, right? Okay, who wants to read the second reading? We'll get into this here.
He saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism. He said to them, "Rod, a viper. Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Therefore produce fruit consistent with repentance. And don't presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that God is able to raise up children from Abraham from these stones. The axe is already at the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree that doesn't produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but the one who is coming after me is more powerful than I am. I am not worthy to remove his sandals. He himself will be baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing shovel is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather what wheat into the barn, but the shaft he will burn with a fire that never goes out."
Okay, all right. This John the Baptist was some kind of guy, wasn't he? I mean, everybody trembled around the Pharisees and the Sadducees because they thought they had the law, the Sanhedrin and all that stuff, and the high priest, and the only way, you know, when Israel slipped back into this works-based religion type stuff, they thought that, you know, the high priest and the scribes and the Pharisees were their rulers, and I guess in a way they were, but John didn't tremble too much, did he? He said, "You brood of vipers." Brood, okay? That's the same word.
That's a bunch.
Hmm?
It's a bunch of vipers.
Yeah, it's a bunch of vipers, right? It's a brood. It's enough vipers to cover a whole area, right? And he says, he took them straight to the point. He said, you know, you guys are hypocrites. And Jesus said too, you know, you Pharisees are hypocrites. You know, you like whitewashed tombs. You look good on the outside, but the inside you're full of dead men's bones. So,
don't anyway. You know that statement by John put them back on their heels a bit?
Yeah.
Here's this scroungy looking fella.
Yeah.
Probably got an odor to him, and he's slapping them right between the eyes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They were probably speechless. The reason it's not recorded that they said anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he pronounces God's judgment, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. He says, look, you know, repent, you know, turn or burn is basically what he's telling them. I mean, you know, we don't really use that as a witnessing technique much today unless the situation, you know, you go out in the Bible on the corner and slap somebody upside the head with a Bible and say, turn or burn, you know. We try to make it more friendly than that, but the Pharisees kind of, they were so self-righteous that they had to kind of get slapped around a little bit by John, and that's what John did. He slapped them around. He said, look, you know, if you don't change your ways, you're going to burn in hell, basically, is what he said. And the whole idea of harvesting the wheat and putting away in the barn, that's the winnowing, you know. And then the chaff left over, just throw it in the fire, let it burn up, you know. Make a cooking fire out of it or something like that.
Is John back in the Passion Play? Not to change the subject. Is John in the Passion Play? John in the Passion Play? I can't remember. I think he is. He used to have some good John the Baptist.
All right, good. Let's go on to the third reading, and then we'll discuss the whole lesson as a whole and try to synthesize everything here.
Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. But John tried to stop him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and yet you come to me? Jesus answered him, allow it for now, because this is the way for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then John allowed him to be baptized. When Jesus was baptized, he went up immediately from the water. The heavens suddenly opened for him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming down on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.
Okay, here we go. Here it is. Here's the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, of course, right after his baptism, he's driven into the wilderness, led into the wilderness by the Spirit of God. You know, Jesus was given an unlimited amount of the Spirit of God. And basically, we're led by the Spirit of God, too. You got to realize, though, Jesus, even though Jesus is a local manifestation of the Godhead, and he told I think it was Philip said, well, Jesus, you in John chapter 14, he says, yeah, well, just show us God. And he said, man, you're looking at him. Okay, I am. But you got to remember, Jesus also had to totally and completely identify with us, too. With all who will call upon the name of the Lord, who will be saved, he had to identify us. Well, that's what he's doing here. He is not being baptized for remission of sins, and John realized that he was the Messiah, and he was not being water baptized. Water baptism actually was a cleansing ceremony that was in an ancient ceremony, actually in the Israelite long list of ceremonies they had to go through for purification and cleansing. So baptism was part of that, so that people would have understood that baptism meant some sort of getting right with God, okay? But here we see actually the initiation of Messianic, you know, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah. We call him the Lord Jesus Christ in the Greco-Roman world. We're Greco-Romans. We're not Jews. Most of us aren't Jews, but I don't think any of us in here are Jews. But, you know, that Jesus, the Lord, this is the initiation of Christian baptism by the Lord himself. And that's what he's telling John. He's saying, John, even though I'm sinless, and even though I don't need to be baptized for remission of sin, what this really is a testimony that I'm all in with this process. Okay, let me take you all through this. This is the deepest level of the idea of baptism. Baptism replicates the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we identify with him. And some people even talk about the mystic union of the church with the Lord on the cross, that some people even believe that judicially in God's mind, he took everybody and put them with Jesus, and we all died with Jesus on the cross. Therefore, we're really dead. Jesus died for our sins, but we really were there with him. Now, I'm not going to argue one way or the other, whether you believe it or not. I hope that idea doesn't offend you, but you know, but there's this idea of Jesus identifying with his people and his people identifying with him. And the whole idea behind baptism is, the idea there is to be all in. When you're immersed under the water, you're all in, right? You're not even a hair on your head is above water, okay, if it's done properly. So you're all in, okay? So Jesus said to John, look, I want to be all in. Okay? I'm being baptized by water. There's a baptism by fire too. And we'll study later on that Jesus actually, with the Holy Spirit, did baptize us with the Holy Spirit and fire. And of course that was manifested at the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came upon the church and they were baptized by the Holy Spirit and by fire. So the water baptism, what it is, it's what some churches call a sacrament, and we call it an ordinance. What it is it's an outward physical testimonial sign to an inward and spiritual grace that's occurred in our life, okay? We don't get saved by going through the water, okay? When we get dunked in water, it don't save us, okay? You use bad language. Sorry, English teacher. We don't get saved by getting dunked. It's a testimony that we have been saved. And that's why the preacher goes through a little talk with you before you get baptized, okay? And he says, yeah, when you come to know the Lord, you know, what you think, you know, what your life's been like. We've been watching you for a while. We know, you know. Or if it's a kid, you know, we know your parents, and your parents have told us, and you know, about how things have changed. One of our children all of a sudden started reading. We gave him a Bible one year. It was for his birthday or something, Matthew. We gave him a Bible, and he started reading it. He started eating it up. He started reading it to his friends, and we said, something's happened in this boy's life. You know, he got saved. So anyway, it's not that we didn't. Not that we didn't witness to our kids, but, you know, he got saved, the Holy Spirit. It was obvious. So, Jesus is the Messiah, and he's going to take part in everything that we do. The Father ordained Jesus' calling, okay? Jesus had a calling from the Father just like we do, okay? Everyone in this group called the body of Christ. You know, what's is the head part of a body? Of course, it's the most important part of the body, right? Okay, so Jesus is the head of the church, and we're the members of the church. We're all one body. So in order for Jesus to identify with the process, he goes through the same thing we go through, and he was water baptized by John the Baptist. Okay? And water baptism, what it symbolizes is that there's been something that's happened to my life that's permanent and irreversible, and I'm justified by faith. I'm saved forever. Excuse me, my sin can no longer be accounted to me because God has taken my sin and laid it on the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. See, God's not bound by time. If we're how many of our sins today, when we got saved, how many of our sins were laid on the Lord Jesus Christ already?
All of them,
right? A couple thousand years ago, right? God's not bound by time, so he could see into the future. There'd be people that save in the future. I can see how in the past he said, you know, Abraham, you are righteous and upright. We'll lay your sins on Christ at the cross. But he also laid all of our sins on the cross too, you know, 2,000 years in the future. So Jesus had to go through, was ordained, was called by God to go through, and now, and next week we're going to study the temptations of Christ, right? The three major temptations, which are in the three major categories that give us problems, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Okay, we're going to study those three in next week. But here he's going through water baptism, and this is a, it's like we're all sealed into a brotherhood, sisterhood, sister brotherhood, personhood, Christianhood. We're all in the body of Christ now, okay? Christ being the head. So the two major ordinances of the church, baptism and Lord's Supper, he goes through those himself with his disciples, okay? So when the Father looks down at this whole process that he's taken all of us through, we're really going through the same process that Jesus went through. He was the forerunner. He was the example. He grew up in a society. He knew hunger. He knew exhaustion. He knew traveling to Jerusalem 3 times a year, you know. You know, walking a long way from Nazareth. He went through the same process that we go through. So, and this process is a process of training. He even says in Hebrews that he suffered just as we suffered, you know, as a son of the Father. And we are all sons and daughters of the Father too, by virtue of the fact we've been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. So, that's the, so anyway, this is the baptism of the Lord Jesus.
There's, on that baptism,